Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldhar, and today we're Maseches Pesachim Daf Mem Gimel. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara seeks to identify the Tana of the Mishnah Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, who holds the chametz dog and gamur al yedei taruv, said full-fledged grain in the mixture, v'nukshe be'enei, and defective chametz whose fermentation isn't complete, that's distinct, belov, are both prohibited by a lov. But Yudah said in the name of Rav that it's Rabbi Meir who holds that someone who eats siur, which he defines as dough whose surface has become white but hasn't yet developed any cracks, and his chametz nuksha is chayiv malkus. If Rabbi Meir holds that one who eats chametz nuksha is chayiv malkus, all the more so he holds that one who eats mixtures with real chametz is chayiv malkus. We see from here that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a mixture with chametz is more severe than chametz nuksha. Rav Nachman said the Tana is Rabbi Eliezer, for it was taught in a brayse that Rabbi Eliezer said, al chametz dalgan gamur anish karas, for eating full-fledged grain chametz, one is punishable with karas, al eruba belav, for eating as part of a mixture, one is subject to the penalty of a lav, but not karas. Now, if Rabbi Eliezer holds that one has transgressed a lav for eating a mixture with chametz dalgan gamur, then all the more so one would be transgressing for eating chametz nuksha. So we see from here that Rav Nachman holds chametz nuksha is more severe than a mixture with chametz. Point number two. The Gemara says Rabbi Eliezer learned that women are included in the chametz prohibition and penalty from the word kol. In the pasuk, ki kol ochel machmeses v'nichrusa. For anyone who eats something that has been leavened, then the soul shall be cut off. Then the Gemara suggests the inclusion of women in the prohibition should be learned from what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav from the pasuk, isho isha ki yas mikol chatos adam. When a man or woman shall commit any of the sins of man, he should be kasev ishli ishul kol unshin shibatorah. The Torah is equated a man to a woman for all the punishments and relevant prohibitions in the Torah. So the Gemara answers that since the Torah juxtaposes the prohibition to eat chametz with the mitzvah to eat matzah, one might have thought that only those who are required to eat matzah are prohibited from eating chametz. And since women are patur from eating matzah, since it's a mitzvah zaseh shezman grama, a time-bound positive mitzvah, they would not be subject to the prohibition of chametz. That is why the word kol is needed. The Gemara then brings a brayse where Belezer teaches that now that women are included in the prohibition of chametz, they have been included in the mitzvah of matzah. And point number three, the Gemara challenges why Rabbi Eliezer does not expound two halachos from the words ki kol, the second one being that a mixture of chametz is chayv and karis, by bringing a brayse attributed to him that he does elsewhere. The brayse states, so'or lo sektiru mimenu isha l'Hashem. Do not burn leaven as a firing offering to Hashem. Now from these words, we would only know that it's forbidden if all of it is leaven. From where do we know that it's forbidden if even a portion of it is leaven, which Rashi explains means less than a kazayas? The Torah teaches kol to include even a portion less than a kazayas. From where do we know that it's prohibited if the leaven isn't in the mixture and is indistinguishable that it's forbidden? The Torah states ki kol. So from here we see that Rabbi Eliezer does expound two halachos from this expression. The Gemara leaves it as a kasha. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Gemara seeks to identify the Tana of the Mishnah Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, who holds the chametz dog and gamur al yedei taruv, said full-fledged grain in the mixture, v'nukshe be'enei, and defective chametz whose fermentation isn't complete, that's distinct, belov, are both prohibited by a lov. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that it's Rabbi Meir who holds that someone who eats siur, which he defines as dough whose surface has become white but hasn't yet developed any cracks, and his chametz nuksha is chayiv malkus. If Rabbi Meir holds that one who eats chametz nuksha is chayiv malkus, all the more so he holds that one who eats mixtures with real chametz is chayiv malkus. We see from here that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a mixture with chametz is more severe than chametz nuksha. Rav Nachman said the Tana is Rabbi Eliezer, for it was taught in a brayse that Rabbi Eliezer said, al chametz dalgan gamur anish karas, for eating full-fledged grain chametz, one is punishable with karas, al eruba belav, for eating as part of a mixture, one is subject to the penalty of a lav, but not karas. Now, if Rabbi Eliezer holds that one has transgressed a lav for eating a mixture with chametz dalgan gamur, then all the more so one would be transgressing for eating chametz nuksha. So we see from here that Rav Nachman holds chametz nuksha is more severe than a mixture with chametz. Point number two. The Gemara says Rabbi Eliezer learned that women are included in the chametz prohibition and penalty from the word kol. In the pasuk, ki kol ochel machmeses v'nichrusa. For anyone who eats something that has been leavened, then the soul shall be cut off. Then the Gemara suggests the inclusion of women in the prohibition should be learned from what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav from the pasuk, isho isha ki yas mikol chatos adam. When a man or woman shall commit any of the sins of man, he should be kasev ishli ishul kol unshin shibatorah. The Torah is equated a man to a woman for all the punishments and relevant prohibitions in the Torah. So the Gemara answers that since the Torah juxtaposes the prohibition to eat chametz with the mitzvah to eat matzah, one might have thought that only those who are required to eat matzah are prohibited from eating chametz. And since women are patur from eating matzah, since it's a mitzvah zaseh shezman grama, a time-bound positive mitzvah, they would not be subject to the prohibition of chametz. That is why the word kol is needed. The Gemara then brings a brayse where Belezer teaches that now that women are included in the prohibition of chametz, they have been included in the mitzvah of matzah. And point number three, the Gemara challenges why Rebbe Eliezer does not expound two halachos from the words ki kol, the second one being that a mixture of chametz is chayv and karis by bringing a brisa attributed to him that he does elsewhere. The brisa states, so'or lo sektiro mimenu isha l'Hashem, do not burn leaven as a firing offering to Hashem. Now from these words, we would only know that it's forbidden if all of it is leaven. From where do we know that it's forbidden if even a portion of it is leaven, which Rashi explains means less than a kazayas? The Torah teaches kol to include even a portion less than a kazayas. From where do we know that it's prohibited if the leaven is in a mixture and is indistinguishable that it's forbidden? The Torah states ki kol. So from here we see that Rabbi Yezer does expound two halachos from this expression. The Gemara leaves it as a kasha. All right, so now we go to our simon for Daf Mem Gimel, and our standard simon is a magazine. So here goes. The Woman's Chametz magazine, featuring recipes of chametz mixtures and advertisements for chametz nuksha cosmetics, include an article on why chametz can't be eaten by women, nor brought on the Mizbeach. Once again in slow motion. The Woman's Chametz magazine, that must mean we're on Daf Mem Gimel. The Woman's Chametz magazine, featuring recipes of chametz mixtures and advertisements for chametz nuksha cosmetics, which reminds us that based on the question who the Tana is in the mission that held Dagan Gamra Ayyidei Taruv, is that full-fledged grain in a mixture, the nuksha be'enei and chametz nuksha that's distinct, but love are both prohibited by love, we learn that Rabbi Yehuda said it was Rabbi Meir holds that a mixture with chametz is more severe than a chametz nuksha. And the Rav Nachman who said it was Rabbi Eliezer holds that chametz nuksha is more severe than a mixture with chametz. So the Woman's Chametz magazine, featuring recipes of chametz mixtures and advertisements for chametz nuksha cosmetics, include an article why chametz can't be eaten by women, which reminds us that the reason Rabbi Eliezer learned that women are included in the chametz prohibition and penalty from the word kol in the pasuk, ki kol ochos machmesus v'nikrusa, for anyone who eats something that has been leavened, then the soul should be cut off, and not from the pasuk, ish o isha ki yasmi kol chatos ha'adam, when a man or woman shall commit any of the sins of man, where the Torah has equated a man to a woman for all the punishments and relevant prohibitions in the Torah, is that since the Torah juxtaposes the prohibition to eat chametz with the mitzvah to eat matzah, that only those who are required to eat matzah are prohibited from eating chametz. And since women are punished from eating matzah, since it's a mitzvah zaseisha, as among Rama, a time-bound positive mitzvah, they would not be subject to the prohibition of chametz. That is why the word kol is needed. The Gemara brings a brisa where Rebbe Elazar then teaches that now that women are included in the prohibition of chametz, they have been included in the mitzvah of matzah. So the Woman's Chametz magazine, featuring recipes of chametz mixtures and advertisements for chametz nuksha cosmetics, include an article on why chametz can't be eaten by women, nor brought on the Mizbeach. Which reminds us that when the Torah states, so'or lo sektir mimenu ishe l'Hashem, do not burn leaven as a firing offering to Hashem, we would only know it's forbidden if all of it is leaven. From where do we know that it's prohibited if the leaven is in a mixture and is indistinguishable that it's forbidden? The Torah states, ki kol. So once again, the Woman's Chametz magazine, featuring recipes on chametz mixtures and advertisements for chametz nuksha cosmetics, include an article on why chametz can't be eaten by women, nor brought on the Mizbeach. All right, now time for a four blah bah chazara. Daf Lamates, the Simra Lamates, is a letter. So here goes. The Yeshiva pre-Pesach fundraising drive featured sending out letters. Letters? That must be more on Daf Lamates. The Yeshiva pre-Pesach fundraising drive featured sending out letters with lettuce in them, certifying that they are mohudr maror, which reminds us that the lechatchila form of maror is chazeres, which is chasa, lettuce, and it's called chasa because the Kodesh Baruch Hu was chas on us, he had mercy on us, and that the Mitzrim are compared to maror because they started off soft and paid us for our labor, and then ended up hard and forced us to work for no pay. So the Yeshiva pre-Pesach fundraising drive featured sending out letters with lettuce in them, certifying that they are mohudr maror, grown from the ground, not from a tree, and totally edible. Which reminds us that maror must be similar to matzah in so much that it comes from a substance that is grown from the ground, it's herbage, and it's edible, and also can come from many different species, just like matzah can. So the Yeshiva pre-Pesach fundraising drive featured sending out letters with lettuce in them, certifying they are mohudr maror, grown from the ground, not from a tree, and totally edible, along with a piece of matzah they touted as totally chametz proof. Which reminds us that unleavened foods which are baked or cooked after being baked, as well as flour that is scalded, cannot become chametz if water comes in contact with them. Daf Mem. So the Simmer Daf Mem is mime, and we use a swimming pool. So here goes. The Beware of Chimutz event by the pool. Pool? That must mean we're in Daf Mem. The Beware of Chimutz event by the pool featured fascinating demonstrations of scalding 2 wheat kernels with boiling water, which reminds us that the Gemara brings several activities to avoid since they might result in the chimutz of grain. One should not thicken a pot of food even with flour of oven-dried grain. One shouldn't scald in boiling water 2 kernels of wheat together, for one kernel will perhaps shift and settle in the cleft of the other, and the bubbling, boiling water will not get to them on all 4 sides, and it will come to chimutz. So the Beware of Chimutz event by the pool featured fascinating demonstrations of scalding 2 wheat kernels with boiling water. and soaking barley grains briefly in the water, which reminds us that a braisa said, "Ein lo sasin se'orim bePesach." We may not soak barley grains in water on Pesach, even though this should be permitted because the grain was only soaked briefly and didn't absorb water before being dried into the sun. The Rabbanim prohibited it out of concern that people will not be careful enough and the grain will become chametz. The braisa continues that if one did soak the barley on Pesach, if the grains split, they are forbidden because they leaven quickly, but if they didn't split, they are permitted since they do not leaven quickly. So the Beware of Chimutz event by the pool featured fascinating demonstrations of scalding two wheat kernels with boiling water and soaking barley grains briefly in the water, and then with adding flour to the charoses dipped in mustard, served at the barbecue. Which reminds us that one may not add flour to charoses, which was a dip containing vinegar made for use with meat, or to mustard, and if he did add flour, it must be eaten immediately according to the Tanakhama, where Meir forbids one to eat it. Rav Kahana said that the machlokas only applies in the case of flour put in mustard, but in the case of the flour put in the charoses, all agree that it must be burned immediately. Rashi explains that the pungency of mustard delays the leavening process. Daf Mem Aleph. So the Simmer Daf Mem Aleph is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma, that must be run Daf Mem Aleph. The grandma decided to prepare a pot roast carp in Pesach, which reminds us that the pasuk only refers to the prohibition of cooking a Pesach in water. And a braisa brought a malachok is how we know that one cannot cook it in other liquids as well. The Tanakhama learns that if it's forbidden to cook in water, which doesn't impart taste, all the more so would be forbidden to cook in liquids that do impart taste. Rebbe learns it from the double lashon of bashel mevushal. The extra word teaches the prohibition applies to any liquid. The nafka mina between them is a pot roast, where the carbon is cooking in its own fat. The Tanakhama would permit it since it isn't flavored by external liquids, whereas Rebbe would prohibit it because it's cooking in a liquid. So the grandma decided to prepare a pot roast carp in Pesach, when her grandkids told her they would not eat the one cooking in the Chami Teveria, which reminds us that Rav Chisda said the reason one who cooks the carbon Pesach in the Chami Teveria is chayiv is not for transgressing the prohibition of cooking the carbon, since the spring is on a toldah fire, and therefore is not considered cooking. Rather, it's for transgressing the mitzvah to eat the Pesach only if it was roasted by fire. So the grandma decided to prepare a pot roast carbon Pesach, when her grandkids told her they would not eat the one cooking the Chami Teveria, lest they incur multiple sets of lashes. Which reminds us that Samachok is in a case where one ate the carbon partially raw and cooked. Rava says he gets three sets of lashes, one which includes the generalized prohibition of not eating the Pesach except roasted. Abai says one does not incur lashes for a lav shebaklalos, a generalized prohibition. There's Samachok is whether Abai means he never gets lashed or that he would get lashed if that was his only transgression. Daf Membeis. So the Simmer Daf Membeis is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster. That must be more on Daf Membeis. The mobster was selling maim shalanu at an inflated price, which reminds us that Rav Yudah said a woman should knead the dough for matzah only with maim shalanu, with water that slept overnight, which means water that was collected the previous day and stayed overnight in the vessel. And this is based on the Gemara in Dav Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis, that the sun's position during the winter caused the underground water source to heat up. Rashi explains that since the warmth hastens the fermentation, one should draw the water the night before baking to give it a chance to cool. Women were also told they should not knead the dough in the sun, nor with water heated by the sun, nor with water drained from the bottom of the mulyar. So the mobster was selling maim shalanu at an inflated price, didn't realize he was bent over and weak from all the raw vegetables he was eating. Which reminds us that three foods increase the sold waist of a person and bend the pasha, meaning they sap one's strength, and remove 1/500th of a person's eyesight, coarse bread, fresh beer, and raw vegetables, which Rashi explains refers to raw leeks, onions, and radishes when eaten frequently in large quantities. Three things diminish the sold waist of a person, make the pasha erect, and illuminate the eyes: refined bread, fatty meat, and old wine. So the mobster was selling maim shalanu at an inflated price, didn't realize he was bent over and weak from all the raw vegetables he was eating, dipped in adomi vinegar. Which reminds that originally when the Beis HaMikdash stood and they would bring the sachim from the wine of Yehuda, the wines would not sour until they would put barley into them. Rashi explains that in the schus of the nesachim, they wouldn't sour until a fermenting agent like barley was added. They were then called chometz tam, ordinary vinegar, because this is how vinegar was produced in Yehuda. Now that the Beis HaMikdash is in ruins and libations are no longer brought, this now is the state of wine and vinegar in Edom. And two different psukim are brought as sources for the phenomena that Yisrael and Edom will never be blessed simultaneously. All right, now it's time to conclude with a pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos Shabbos in Erevin. Number 1. Which stuff is it that two sources are brought for why Chalos HaTodah Rekike Nazir that one makes for himself cannot be used for the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah? That's on Daf Lamed Ches. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we discuss the prohibition of burning leaven on the Mizbeach? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that maror must be like matzah and that it comes from the ground, is herbage, and is edible? That's on Daf Lamentez. Good. Number four. Which daf do we learn that the Rabbanan forbids soaking barley grains in water? That's on daf. Mem. Good. Number five. Good. Number five. Which daf do we discuss three foods that increase waist, bend the posture, meaning sap one's strength, and dim the eyes? That's on daf. Membeis. Good. Number six. Which daf do we talk about which is more chamura, a tarobus of chametz or chametz nuksha? That's on daf. Mem Gimel. Good. Number seven. Which daf do we learn why the mitzrim are compared to maror? That's on daf. Lamates. Good. Number eight. Which of the one should only need dough for matzah with maim shalanu? That's on daf. Membeis. Good. Number nine. Which daf the reason one is chai for cooking the carbon pesach on the chamit tiveri is that he transgressed eating the carbon pesach not roasted? That's on daf. Mem olav. Good. And number ten. Which daf does Gemara bring several activities to avoid since they might result in chimutz, such as scalding and boiling water, two kernels of wheat together? That's on daf. Mem. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one. Which daf do we have a question whether David was makabel lashon hara mifi voshes? That's on daf. Nun vav and shavas. Good. Number two. Which daf do we learn that residents of steep cities prematurely age? That's on daf. Nun vav and ervin. Good. And number three. Which daf do we discuss taking shortcuts through the shul? That's on daf. Samach beis and brachas. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.